Time passes. Listen, time passes. An owl flies home past Bethesda to a chapel in an oak, and the dawn inches up. Stand on this hill. This is the Regeb Hill, old as the hills, high, cool, and green. And from this small circle of stones, made not by Druids, but by Mrs. Bynum's Billy, you can see all the town below you, sleeping in the first of the dawn. The hill grazes on the lower fields, and the fields go down to the hazed town, rippling like a lake to drink.
Less than 500 souls inhabit the three quaint streets and the few narrow by-lanes and scattered farmsteads that constitute this small, decaying, watering place, which may indeed be called a backwater of life, without disrespect to its natives, who possess to this day a salty individuality of their own. The main street, Coronation Street, consists for the most part of humble, two-storied houses, many of which attempt to achieve some measure of gaiety, by tricking themselves out in crude colors and by the liberal use of pink wash. Though there are remaining a few 18th century houses of more pretension, if, on the whole, in a sad state of disrepair. Though there is little to attract the hill climber, the health seeker, the sportsman, or the weekending motorist, the contemplative may, if sufficiently attracted to spare it some leisurely hours, find in its cobbled street and its little fishing harbor, in its several curious customs, and in the conversation of its local characters, some of that picturesque sense of the past so frequently lacking in towns and villages which have kept more abreast of the times. The River Dewey is said to abound in trout, but is much poached. The one place of worship, with its neglected graveyard, is of no architectural interest.
A cock crows. The principality of the sky lightens now over our green hill into spring morning, lark and crowed and belly. Who pulls the town hall bell rope but blind Captain Cat? One by one, the sleepers are wrung out of sleep this one morning as every morning, and soon you shall see the chimneys slow up flying snow as Captain Cat in sailor's cap and sea boots announces today with his loud get out of bed bell. The Reverend Eli Jenkins in Bethesda House gropes out of bed into his preacher's black, combs back his barbed white hair, forgets to wash, pads barefoot downstairs, opens the front door, stands in the doorway, and looking out at the day and up at the eternal hill, and hearing the sea break and the gab of birds, remembers his own verses and tells them softly to empty Coronation Street that is rising and raising its blinds. Dear Gwalior, I know there are towns lovelier than ours, and fairer hills and loftier far, and groves more full of flowers, and boskier woods more blithe with spring, and bright with birds adorning, and sweeter birds than I to sing their praise this beauteous morning. By Cader Idris tempest torn, or Maul of others' glory, Carnell Llewellyn beauty born, Llyn Llimon, old in story. By mountains where King Arthur dreams, by Penmyne Mawr defiant, Llareggub Hill, a molehill, seems a pygmy to a giant. By Southey, Senny, Dovey, Dee, Eddu, Edden, Alled, all, Tarv and Towey, broad and free, Llanvant with its waterfall. Lyrwen, Clevaw, Dallas, Door, Yelly, Willy, Ogor, Ned, small is our river, Dewey, Lord, a baby on a rushy bed. By Kerrykinnin, King of Time, our ruin in the spinet, where owls do wink and squirrels climb, is aged but half a minute. Thy strumble or thy dinner's head, our heron head is only a bit of stone with seaweed spread, where gulls come to be lonely. A tiny dingle is milkwood by golden grove neath Gronga. But let me choose, and oh, I should love all my life and longer to stroll among our trees and stray in Guzgog Lane on Donkey Down and hear the dewy sing all day and never, never leave the town.
The Reverend Jenkins closes the front door. His morning service is over.
Now, woken at last by the out-of-bed sleepyhead, Polly put the kettle on town hall bell. Lily Smalls, Mrs. Byman's treasure, comes downstairs from a dream of royalty, who all night long went larking with her full of sauce in the milkwood dark, and puts the kettle on the primus ring in Mrs. Byman's kitchen, and looks at her face in Mr. Byman's shaving glass over the sink, and sees...
Ooh, there's a face. Where do you get that nose from, Lily? I got it from my father, silly. Ooh, there's a conch. Where do you get that hair from? I got it from my old tomcat. Ooh, there's a perm. Look at your complexion. Oh, no, you look. Needs a bit of makeup. Needs a veil. Oh, there's glamour. Where'd you get that smile, Will? Never you mind, girl. Nobody loves you. That's what you think. Who is it loves you? Chantal. Come on, Lily. Cross your heart, then. Cross.
And very softly, her lips almost touching her reflection, she breathes the name and clouds the shaving glass.
Lily? Yes, Mum? Where's my tea, girl?
What do you think, in the cat box? Coming up, Mum.
Mr. Pugh, in the schoolhouse opposite, takes up the morning tea to Mrs. Pugh and whispers on the stairs,
Here's your arsenic, dear. And your weed killer biscuit. I've throttled your parakeet. I've spat in the vases. I've put cheese in the mouse hole. Here's your nice tea, dear.
Too much sugar.
You haven't tasted it yet, dear.
Too much milk, then. Has Mr. Jenkins read his poetry?
Oh, yes, dear. He's indoors now.
And it's time to get up. Give me my glasses. No, not my reading glasses. I want to look out. I want to see.
Lily Smalls, the treasure, down on her red knees, washing the front step.
She's tucked her dress in her bloomers. Oh, the baggage.
P.C. Attila Evans, ox-broad, barred, booted, cumbering out in a heavy huff.
He's going to arrest Polly Garter, mark my words.
What for, my dear?
For having babies.
And lumbering down towards the strand to see that the sea is still there.
Mary Ann the sailor's opening her bedroom window above the tap room and calling out to the heaven.
I'm 85 years, 3 months, and a day.
I will say this for her, she never makes a mistake.
Organ Morgan at his bedroom window playing chords on the sill to the morning fishwife gulls. Who, crying over Donkey Street, observed...
Me, dyed red, hurrying to the bakery, pushing in my shirt tails, buttoning my buttons, ping goes a button. Why can't they sell them? No time for breakfast, nothing for breakfast. There's wives for you.
Me, Mrs. Dyed Red One. Caps and shawl and no old corset. Nice to be comfy, nice to be nice. Plugging on the cobbles to stir up a neighbor. Oh, Mrs. Sarah, can you spare a loaf now? There's no bread in the house. How's your boys this morning?
Me? Mrs. Dyebread, too. Gaudy to kill in a tangerine jumper full of mortals. dirty yellow petticoat above my knees. Dirty, pretty knees. High-heeled shoes with one heel missing. Tortoiseshell comb in my bright black tousle. Nothing else. Lolling in the doorway. Scowling at the sunshine. Lighting up my pipe.
Me, Lord Cutglass, in an old frock coat belonging to Eli Jenkins, and a pair of postman's trousers from Bethesda Jumbo, running out of doors to empty slops. Mind there, Rover, and then running in again, tick-tock.
Me, no good boyo, up to no good in the wash house.
Me, Miss Price, in my pretty print house coat, best at the clothesline, natty as a Jenny Wren. Then pit-pat back to my egg in its cozy. My crisp toast fingers, my homemade salmon butter pat.
Me, Polly Garter, giving the breast in the garden to my new bonny baby. And listening to the voices in the voices of the blooming birds.
Now frying pans spit, kettles and cats purr in the kitchens. The town smells of seaweed and breakfast. All the way down from Bayview, where Mrs. Ogmore Pritchard, in smock and turban, big besomed to engage the dust, picks at her starchless bread and sips lemon-rind tea, to Bottom Cottage, where Mr. Waldo, in bowler and bib, gobbles his bubble and squeak and kippers and swigs from the sauce bottle. Mary Ann, the sailors,
praises the Lord who made porridge.
Mr. Pugh
remembers ground glass as he juggles his omelet.
Mrs. Pugh
nags the salt cellar.
Willy-nilly postman
downs his last bucket of black brackish tea and rumbles out bandy to the clucking back, where the hens twitch and grieve for their tea-soaked socks.
Mrs. Willy-nilly,
full of tea to her double-chinned brim, broods and bubbles over her coven of kettles on the hissing hot hob, always ready to steam open the mail.
The Reverend Eli Jenkins
finds the rhyme and dips his pen in his cocoa.
Lord Cutglass, in his ticking kitchen, scampers from clock to clock, a bunch of clock keys in one hand, a fish head in the other.
Captain Cat, in his galley,
blind and fine-fingered, flavors his sea fry.
Mr. and Mrs. Cherry Owen in their Donkey Street room, that is bedroom, parlor, kitchen, and scullery, sit down to last night's supper of onions boiled in their overcoats and broth of spuds and bacon rinds and bones.
See that smudge on the wall by the almanac? That's where you threw the gravy. You only missed me by an inch. And remember the fish bucket? Over you tumbled, flagons and all, and the floor was all eels, flatfish and blood.
Give me the onions.
Ooh, you were drunk as a deacon, and sprawling and bawling. And
give me a kiss.
And then you sang Aberystwyth. And then you did a dance on the table.
I did.
Drop dead.
And then what did I do?
Then you sang Aberystwyth all over again.
From Bynum Butcher's in Coronation Street, the smell of fried liver sidles out with onions on its breath. And listen, in the dark breakfast room behind the shop, Mr. and Mrs. Bynum, waited upon by their treasure, enjoy between bites their every morning hullabaloo. And Mrs. Bynum slips the gristly bits under the tasseled tablecloth to her fat cat.
She likes the liver, Ben.
Well, she ought to do best. It's her brother's.
Oh! Do you hear that, Lily?
Yes, ma'am.
We're eating puss cat.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, you cat butcher.
Well, it was doctored mine.
What's that got to do with it?
Yesterday we had mole.
Oh, Lily, Lily!
Monday, otter. Tuesday, shrew.
Oh!
Go on, Mrs. Vine. He's the biggest liar in town.
Don't you dare say that about Mr. Bynum.
Everybody knows it, Mom.
Mr. Bynum never tells a lie. Do you, Ben?
No, Bess. And now I'm going out after corgis with my little cleaver.
Oh, Lily, Lily!
Up the street in the sailor's arms, Sinbad Sailors, grandson of Mary Ann the Sailors, draws a pint in the sunlit bar. The ship's clock in the bar says 11:30. 11:30 is opening time. The hands of the clock have stayed still at 11:30 for 50 years. It is always opening time in the sailor's eye.
Here's to me, Sinbad.
All over the town, babies and old men are cleaned and put into their broken prams and wheeled onto the sunlit cockled cobbles or out into the backyards under the dancing vests and left. A baby crying.
I want my pipe and he wants his bottle.
Noses are wiped, heads picked, hair combed, paws scrubbed, ears boxed, and the children shrilled off to school.
Fishermen grumble to their nets. No good boyer goes out in the dinghy Zanzibar, ships the oars, drifts slowly in the dab-filled bay, lying on his back in the unveiled water, among crab's legs and tangled lines, looks up at the spring sky.
I don't know who's up there, and I don't care.
He turns his head and looks up at the Regrib Hill and sees among green, lathered trees the white houses of the strewn-away farms where farm boys whistle, dogs shout, cows low, but all too far away for him or you to hear. And in the town, the shops squeak open. Mr. Mog Edwards, in butterfly collar and straw hat at the doorway of Manchester House, measures with his eye the dawdlers by for striped flannel shirts and shrouds and flowery blouses and bellows to himself in the darkness behind his eye.
I love Miss Price.
Syrup is sold in the post office. A car drives to market full of fowls and a farmer. Milk churns stand at Coronation Corner like short, silver policemen. And sitting at the open window of Schooner House, blind Captain Cat hears all the mourning of the town. He hears the voices of children and the noise of children's feet on the cobbles.
Maggie Richards, Ricky Reese, Tommy Powell, our Sal, Little Gerwine, Billy Swansea with the dog's voice, one of Mr. Waldo's, Nasty Humphrey, Jackie with the sniff. Where's Dickie's Albee and the boys from Tepan? Perhaps they got a rash again.
Oh!
Oh, somebody hit Matty Richards. 2-1, it's Billy Swansea. Never trust a boy who barks. Right again, that's Billy.
And the children's voices cry away.
That's willy-nilly knocking at Bayview. Rack-tack-tack, very soft. The knocker's got a kid glove on. Who sent a letter to Mrs. Ogmore Pritchard? Careful now, she swabs the front glassy. Every step's like a bar of soap. Mind your size 12s. That old Bessie would beeswax the lawn to make the bird slip.
Morning, Mrs. Ogmore Pritchard.
Good morning, postman.
Here's a letter for you with stamped and addressed envelope enclosed, all the way from Bill Wells. A gentleman wants to study birds, and can he have accommodation for 2 weeks in a bar? Vegetarian.
Never.
Oh, you wouldn't know he was in the house, Mrs. Ogmore Pritchard. He'd be out in the mornings at the bang of dawn, with his bag of breadcrumbs and his little telescope.
And come home at all hours, covered with feathers. I don't want persons in my nice, clean rooms, breathing all over the chairs.
Oh, cross my heart. He won't breathe.
And putting their feet on my carpets, and sneezing on my china, and sleeping in my sheets.
Well, he only wants a single bed, Mrs. Ogmore Pritchard.
And back she goes to the kitchen to polish the potatoes.
Captain Cat hears Willy Dilly's feet heavy on the distant cobble.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, that's Mrs. Rose Cottage. What's today? Today she gets the letter from her sister in Gorse Glass. How's the twins' teeth? 6, 7, 8. Plain sealed brown envelope from Liverpool for the lodger in Craggy Don. Don't stick a pin in it, Willie. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. He's stopping at schoolhouse.
Good morning, Mrs. Pugh. Mrs. Ogmore Pritchard won't have a gentleman in from Bilt Wells because he'll sleep in her sheets. Mrs. Rose Cottage's sister and Gorseglass's twins have got to have them out.
Give me the parcel.
It's for Mr. Pugh, Mrs. Pugh.
Never you mind. What's inside it?
A book called Lives of the Great Poisoners.
That's Manchester House.
Morning, Mr. Edwards. Very small news. Mrs. Ogmore Pritchard won't have birds in the house, and Mr. Pugh's bought a book now on how to do in Mrs. Pugh. And there's careful the lodger is getting in Craggy Don.
Have you got a letter from her?
Miss Price loves you with all her heart. Smelling of lavender today. She's down to the last of the elderflower line, but the quince jam's bearing up, and she's knitting roses on the doilies. Last week she sold 3 jars of boiled sweets, pound of humbugs, 1/2 box of jelly babies, and 6 colored photos of Lurega. Yours forever, then 21 X's.
Oh, willy-nilly, she's a ruby. Here's my letter. Put it in her hands now.
Down the street comes willy-nilly, and Captain Cat hears other steps approaching.
Mr. Waldo hurrying to the sailor's arms. Pint of stout with an egg in it. There's a letter for him.
It's another paternity summons, Mr. Waldo.
The quick footsteps hurry on along the cobbles and up 3 steps to the sailor's arms.
Quick, Sinbad, pint of stout, and no egg in.